You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Live from Chicken Town, this is the Flopcast, episode 430.
On flopcast.net.
Yes, yes. Hello, Cornflake.
Oh, why hello there, Kevin. How are you?
Good. I'm here in Chicken Town. I got a bird feeder today.
Oh. What kind of bird feeder?
I don't know. Apparently you feed birds out of it. I don't know anything about bird feeders, but one arrived today here at the studio. We didn't set it up yet. I don't know what's going to happen. We're going to put it outside and then see what shows up.
Whatever birds are hungry, right?
Yeah, I'm hoping for like turkeys.
Careful what you wish for.
Yeah, a macaque perhaps would be interesting, a bonobo, some gibbons. I'm hoping for, you know, things from the ape family might be interesting. They like bird food, right?
Who doesn't?
Yeah, I don't know. This is going to be a disaster. In all likelihood, I'll be carried off by something. We'll see. What do you feed them? What do birds eat? Like Doritos?
Oh, no, no. They are full-on cheese puff winged friends. They got to get the cheese puffs.
I took the bird feeder out of the box. I stared at it for a while, and that's about as far as we are right now. And I'll let you know if I survive. This is our Billy Joel show.
I am so excited we're talking about Billy Joel today.
We've been meaning to do a Billy Joel show for, I don't know, a couple of years now. We've been talking about doing a Billy Joel show. It's finally happening, so that's exciting in a very unexciting sort of way. But first, Cornflake, what are we doing for National Whatever Day?
Well, I'll tell you what, Kevin, we are celebrating a birthday, and it is the 75th birthday on August 5th of Lonnie Anderson.
Lonnie Anderson. Is she 75?
Can you believe it? She's turning 75 on August 5th.
I feel like I just listened to an interview with Lonnie Anderson very recently, and I'm trying to remember where that might have possibly happened. Okay, got it. Lonnie was just on a podcast called Comic Book Central a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, cool.
She voiced Blondie. So they did some Blondie cartoons with Lonnie Anderson as Blondie. That's appropriate, right?
Yeah. I didn't know that about her. I know her best as the receptionist Jennifer Marlowe on WKRP in Cincinnati.
Well, of course. After WKRP, she did a show with Linda Carter. Speaking of comic book characters, you know, Wonder Woman, Linda Carter. Linda and Lonnie had a show called Partners in Crime.
Oh.
Where they were like private investigators or detectives or something. I don't know. I don't think I ever saw it. But I remember that it existed. And then she had another sitcom after that, kind of mid to late 80s, called Easy Street, which I did see once or twice. Don't remember much about that. And I think that is the complete story of me seeing Lonnie Anderson in stuff. But I like her.
If there's any star out there that has ever voiced a dog in a cartoon, I know about it. This is kind of my thing.
Was she the voice of Marmaduke?
No, she voiced a collie named Flo in the 1989 animated film All Dogs Go to Heaven.
Oh, okay. Didn't know that.
Of course, nothing will compare to her as Jennifer on WKRP.
Oh, sure.
I could watch old episodes of that over and over and over again. She was really the one who kept that radio station running.
I remember there was an article in TV Guide at the time about the dumb blonde trope in television, because so many sitcoms had a dumb blonde character, and they pointed out she was the exception.
Yes.
Like a WKRP, Lonnie's the smart one.
Yeah, she's the best kind of exception.
Yeah, she was cool. Maybe we should watch some Partners in Crime.
I'd be all for that.
I feel like I missed out. Lonnie Anderson and Linda Carter. How could that not be delightful?
I don't know. Gotta see it.
Let's check that out. All right. Happy birthday to, I don't know how she could possibly be 75 years old, but all right. Well, I guess we'll allow it. Happy birthday, Lonnie. But meanwhile, here on the Flopcast, let's move on. We're talking Billy Joel today.
Oh boy. This is going to be awesome.
This was such a long time coming. I really feel like for the last couple of years, every few months we say, we have to do a show about Billy Joel.
I believe that I've been talking about Billy Joel in passing on this show since, I don't know, it's going to be the very, very early episodes.
Oh, he's certainly come up many, many times on the show because we are both big fans, of course. But yeah, we've been talking about the idea of let's really dedicate a show to Billy. I think we wanted to talk a little Glass Houses. And we mentioned Glass Houses when we did a show about albums of the 1980s just a few weeks ago. And we mentioned the Glass Houses album, 1980. So this would be the 40th anniversary of Billy's 1980 album, Glass Houses.
I had never before preparing to talk about Billy Joel tonight listened to that album from start to finish.
So you knew the hits.
Right.
But not the deep album tracks.
At least not from Glass Houses. I will say that for other albums of his, like The Stranger, for example, that's the sort of thing that I used to check out of the library when I was a kid and then listen to it from start to finish.
The Stranger barely has any deep album tracks. That's almost every track is one that people tend to know. Glass Houses, I believe, was the first Billy Joel album I ever bought. And I'm looking at, I have it right here in the studio, my original copy. I got it on vinyl.
Wow. And what I was going to say about never having listened to it all before, of course, is got a picture of him getting ready to throw a rock at what appears to be a glass house.
Sure.
But I didn't realize that between the songs, or at least in one case, between a couple of songs, there's sounds of glass shattering.
That's the very beginning of the album.
Ah.
That is, did you listen to it? Did you hit shuffle when you listened to
it? I did.
Okay. Let me explain how it worked on vinyl, Cornflake. Back in the day, is the needle would come down and it would begin on song number one, on side one, that shattering glass effect. That's the first thing you hear when you play the record.
Ah.
That leads into You May Be Right.
Yes.
Although not the only sound effect at the beginning of a song on this record. It's a very quirky, odd album in many ways. And people know the hits. And this was kind of like, if you had to just slap a label on it, this was Billy making a rock album as opposed to the sort of lighter, easy listening, kind of softer stuff on The Stranger and the more jazz influenced stuff on 52nd Street. But You May Be Right kicks off the album and it's just a rock song, you know? Mm-hmm. So there's You May Be Right, there's It's Still Rock and Roll to Me, obviously a rock and roll song.
Yes!
About rock and roll. And again, it's of its time, though. It mentions punk, and it mentions new wave. And what a quirky song that is.
Oh, that's what makes it a favorite of mine.
Well, he's having an argument with himself.
Yeah.
But that was a favorite of mine and a standard in his live show all these years.
Of course, if you want your piano fix on this album, you can totally get it with Don't Ask Me Why.
Yeah, that's kind of a light, pleasant, kind of shuffling, mid-tempo kind of a song, Don't Ask Me Why. And that was the other hit, also from Freaks and Geeks, because there was a Freaks and Geeks episode. You know, Freaks and Geeks was set in the year 1980, and I know Judd Apatow spoke about how this album was like the soundtrack to that year. It was inescapable. And so there's a Freaks and Geeks episode where they use a couple of tracks from Glass Houses throughout the episode, as well as one from 52nd Street. The other song from Glass Houses that they used on that Freaks and Geeks episode, and again, an example of what a weird record this was C'était Toi, the French language song.
Yes, he sings in French and talks in French.
It's so goofy. He's kind of joked about that song in later years. I know people have asked him, like, are there songs that you regret or are there songs that you're kind of embarrassed by? And he's pointed out that, you know, I once did a song in French.
Yes.
And then he says, and I don't speak French.
Well, that makes it even better.
A deep album cut in the middle of side two was a C'était Toi, You Were the One. There's a full verse and chorus in French. I mean, a pretty song, but I don't know what they were thinking.
Yeah, what were they going for there?
any other songs stand out to you that we haven't mentioned?
So here's the thing. When I listen now to Sometimes a Fantasy, I wonder why it didn't get, as I recall anyway, the same level of airplay as something like It's Still a Rock and Roll to Me got.
Yeah, and Sometimes a Fantasy was released as a single, and it did chart, but just barely. That one like squeaked into the top 40, I think, and peaked in the upper 30s. That's a goofy song. It was never a favorite of mine.
I think it's fun to listen to.
I mean, I guess. That one's just always sounded kind of ridiculous to me. Although that's the second example on this album of like a little goofy sound effect kicks off the song, because that one starts with a push button telephone.
Right.
But that's a goofy song. The other song we haven't mentioned from side one yet is another weird one. There's a song called All for Lena. And I think my friend Rich described this song as fake new wave. This was Billy and early in the new wave era and sort of doing a new wave style, but not quite. I like the synthesizer solo in the middle of it. There's a couple of songs on this record with some fun, very dated sounding synthesizer solos. It sounds like the theme song to Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends. Some other interesting stuff on side two. I really think of this album in terms of side one and side two, because that's how I listened to it, you know, as a kid flipping the vinyl over, you know. Side two starts, again, kind of a goofy, fun song. I Don't Want to Be Alone, just kind of a fun pop song. The whole album ends with kind of this pretty, almost a folk song called Through the Long Night.
Yes.
Again, lovely song, but it just kind of comes out of nowhere. Sounds like nothing else on the record.
Very true.
Surprising way to wrap up what was largely a rock pop record. The track before that, the penultimate song on Glass Houses, called Close to the Borderline. And this, if All for Lena was Billy sort of doing a fake new wave song, Close to the Borderline is like Billy doing fake punk.
Yeah. That's about as close to punk as Billy Joel gets.
It's fun, but again, it's kind of goofy. This was very much a goofy record.
Do you think that the sound of the album had much to do with the fact that Phil Ramone was the producer?
Well, when you say a Ramone.
Not one of those Ramones then, huh?
There are people in the world whose last name is Ramone.
Wait, are you trying to tell me that Liberty DeVito, who did the drums and percussion on this album, wasn't related to Danny?
Phil Ramone produced a lot of Billy Joel records. Yeah, Phil was not in the band with Johnny and Joey and Dee Dee.
No.
But yeah, Liberty DeVito was Billy's longtime drummer, so certainly those are the drums you hear on this record. And the drums, a major part of a lot of the songs on this. You listen to that beat and you may be right. And a bunch of these songs have very powerful drum parts, and that can be said of a lot of Billy Joel songs. That was all Liberty DeVito.
I love the percussion in Don't Ask Me Why.
And yeah, Liberty was part of Billy's band for, 20 years easily, maybe more than that. You know, there's a new band around these days. For the last couple of years, there's a band called Lords of 52nd Street, and it's Liberty and a couple of other guys who used to be in Billy Joel's band.
Oh.
There's a band made up of former Billy Joel band members.
That sounds good, but it also sounds awkward.
They go out and do Billy Joel songs, and they call themselves the Lords of 52nd Street.
Wow.
Yeah, and these are fantastic musicians, so I'm guessing it's a great show. One more song we haven't mentioned on this record, on Glass Houses, Cornflake, and that might be my favorite, because it's, again, it's goofy, but it's really fun, and that's Sleeping with the Television On.
Ah, yes.
And this one is, again, it's of its time, because it also has a sound effect to start it off, and it's a sound effect that would not make any sense to you crazy kids today, because the song starts with you hear the ending of the Star Spangled Banner.
Which was the sign-off for the end of the television day.
And then just that buzz, the sound of the test pattern. And that's what would play on TV all night. I don't think any TV stations do that anymore.
Nope.
But yeah, back in the day, TV would end.
And no matter how badly you wanted to watch it at 5 o'clock in the morning, you would have to wait.
Yeah, you would have to wait for TV to start again in the morning. And I did not see TV end very often, but Saturday morning, I'd be there at 4:45 a.m. waiting for Davy and Goliath to start. And yeah, I'd be watching the test pattern, and then finally Star Spangled Banner would come on.
Yep.
Then actually before Davy and Goliath, they do Star Spangled Banner, and then they'd say, "And now our daily meditation." And, oh. And then like it'd be like a prayer. I don't know if it was some local priest or some weirdo would say some kind of weird meditation prayer thing.
Oh, that's how the old people liked it.
Yeah. And I was like, I just want to see a cartoon dog running around. Come on.
Well, when I would wake up in the morning, they would have that montage, but they'd play it along with that. Have you ever heard that song, Oh, New Hampshire?
No, I've never heard Oh, New Hampshire.
All right, well, because you did not grow up in New Hampshire like I did.
Oh, New Hampshire. I didn't know. I did not know until just now there's a song called Oh. Is there a verse about Fun Spot?
Sadly, no.
That giant arcade in the middle of the state. Otherwise, I'm not interested. Sleeping with the television on. Again, when I was a little kid listening to this song, I didn't get what it was about. You know? It took me a while to catch on. Oh, this is about going out to a bar and trying and failing to hook up. Thus, you're sleeping with the television on.
Whoops.
So that's Glass Houses anyway. 40 years old. I cannot believe this record came out 40 years ago. One of my favorites from the Billy Joel catalog. I like them all. You know, I'm a lifelong fan. I know all these records. And we've discussed them a little bit, but not in detail. But I thought, even though we're here for Glass Houses, it also occurred to me that we are way overdue for a top 4.5 list.
Yes, we are.
I was hoping that you could help us out with a Billy Joel-themed top 4.5 list. You ready to do this?
I think I am.
Commencing countdown. 4, 3, 2, 1.
What? 1.5?
The top 4.5 list.
All right, so the concept is this is your top 4.5 Billy Joel songs, but not from Glass Houses. We're just going to take Glass Houses off the table since we were talking about that anyway.
Yes, we've already covered Glass Houses in great detail.
And what I really love about this plan is that I do not have a 4.5 list. I thought, you know, to save time and to take all the pressure off of me, this is just you.
Well, we'll see how well I dealt with that pressure, Kevin.
We're going with Cornflakes, top 4.5 Billy Joel songs, not from Glass Houses, and I shall just make sarcastic, annoying comments throughout.
Oh, it wouldn't be the same without you, Kevin.
You'd think you're on a different show. Ready to go?
Yes, I am.
All right, Cornflake, let's go number 4.
Oh, to come up with my favorite top 4.5 Billy Joel songs. How hard could it be? Well, Kevin, it was hard. Hard to narrow it down.
Oh, yeah.
So much so.
Why do you think I'm not doing it?
But, I felt myself just bending to the pressure of such an enormous responsibility. And you can't see it because you're not here with me, but I'm going to make a little noise now. I got this, like, one of those little, I don't know if you can hear it.
Do you have Davy Jones maracas over there? What is that?
No, I have one of those little bags of change, like, you know, like the robbers grab when they go out of the bank in the cartoons. They sling that bag over their shoulder.
Is there a giant dollar sign painted on the side of it?
There is.
Yes, like in a cartoon. Okay, I know how bags of money works.
Yes.
All right, so what are you doing with your sack of money over there? What's going on?
I'm taking a coin out of it. Some of my answers here are going to involve a coin flip.
You've randomized your top 4.5 list. This is unprecedented, I think, in the 8-year history of the Flopcast top 4.5 list.
I had such a hard time picking a favorite, even when I decided that each entry on the list is from a distinct album. But even then, I couldn't narrow it down. So for each entry on the list, I have two choices from one album that could very well be my favorite. and I'm gonna flip a coin.
All right, so you're gonna flip a coin for each spot on your list. You have a different album represented for each spot on your list by one of two possible songs.
Yes.
Okay. All right, here's what I'll do. You're going to flip the coin, you will reveal your pick, and maybe I will attempt to guess what the alternate selection would have been.
Oh, in some cases, this is going to be easier than others. Let's see how it goes.
I know all these albums, so we'll see. All right, go. Number four. Flip that coin.
Number four.
What do you have over there? Sacagawea? What are you flipping?
Well, I'll tell you. I have a quarter from...
The coin should be from the year that whatever album it is came out.
Oh. Gotta go through my big money stack to get something like that.
If you're doing The Stranger, you have to fish out a 1977 quarter. This just turned into an 11-hour podcast, which will mostly be spent listening to Corn Flick sorting through a big pile of coins.
Okay, I've got, wow, that writing is tiny.
You don't really have to match the year to the... I don't really have that kind of time, Corn Flick. Please pick a coin and flip it.
Okay. Oh, I got Tails. So at number four, from 52nd Street, which was his sixth studio album, I picked the song My Life.
Oh.
Also the theme song of Bosom Buddies.
Yes. Yes.
You know, I don't care what you say anymore. This is my life. Leave me alone.
Yeah. As a Billy Joel fan, I was very excited when I tuned in for episode one of Bosom Buddies and they were using a Billy Joel song. There's at least one other show, one other TV series that used a Billy Joel song as its theme song. Do you know what that was?
Oh, I don't know.
I think we may have mentioned it on the show, but a million years ago. It was Dave's World, the Harry Anderson sitcom from the 90s, based on the life of newspaper columnist Dave Barry, and they used From the Glass Houses album, You May Be Right, as the theme song.
That's perfect, David Barry.
But yeah, My Life, this was a favorite of mine back in the day. I think it was a song that Billy got kind of sick of. For many years, he did not perform this at his concerts. He really had enough of it.
Mm.
And then eventually, though, he came back around to it at some point.
Yeah.
He took like a decade or so or more off from performing it. And then he's like, you know, it's pretty good. And then he put it back in the rotation.
It's repetitive, but it's fun. And
yeah,
I'll tell you, when I was listening to this song when I was a little kid, I didn't understand what he was saying about the places you couldn't sleep.
Right, right.
Like, you can't sleep in a strange place, but you can't sleep with somebody else. And I did not know what he was driving at.
There are so many adult lyrics in Billy Joel songs that went right over my head as a kid. But yeah, that's a good point, though, is what a repetitive song, in that the verse and the chorus are the same.
Yes.
Musically identical. I guess Piano Man does that, too.
Very true. So, knowing that My Life was one of my two favorite songs from 52nd Street, Kevin, which do you think the other one was?
Yeah, 52nd Street, great record, and a lot of jazz-influenced stuff on 52nd Street. Rosalinda's Eyes is a gorgeous song, which is also in that Freaks and Geeks episode, the third Billy Joel song they used on Freaks and Geeks. And maybe my favorite from this record would be, you know how Weird Al does style parodies?
Yes.
In which, like, it's not a parody of a song, but he will just deliberately try to invoke a certain artist's style. And Billy Joel does a lot of that. Over his whole career, he has songs which are very clearly in the style of a particular artist. And I think one that you don't hear a lot about is from 52nd Street. And there's a song called Until the Night, which is very clearly based on the Righteous Brothers.
Neat.
The other big singles from this record are Big Shot and Honesty. So for you, I'm just going to go Big Shot.
You got it, Kevin.
Hey. Okay.
Nicely done.
It's sort of an angry... attack of a song, cocaine references in that song, which I did not get at the time.
Oh, me neither.
All right, I got it.
All right.
I'm thrilled that right out of the gate, I nailed your alternate selection. I like how you've turned this into a game for me to play.
You're welcome.
All right, cool. That was number four. Let's keep going. How about number three?
And number three, whatever gets picked for this slot, Kevin, is going to be off the fifth studio album from Billy Joel, The Stranger. So I'm going to do my coin flip now. Oh, we're on Tails again, which means I have chosen Just the Way You Are, which, if I am remembering correctly, and we all know that I'm not so great about remembering things correctly sometimes, but I think I recall Billy Joel singing this to Oscar the Grouch on Sesame Street when I was a little kid.
Huh.
And Oscar the Grouch being very, very upset that anyone would like him just the way he is because he was too busy telling everybody to scram.
I did not see that. I'm going to have to look that up. I have no memory of that at all. Yeah, now here's a song that, again, yeah, lovely song. I agree. I like it. But that's a song that has not aged well in that we all got so sick of it and it just sounds so corny and so soft lounge act kind of a song, you know?
Oh, did we all get sick of it? Because I didn't.
Yeah, so I think it gets kind of a bad rap these days. All right, that's a fun pick for number three. And now, man, you're on the Stranger album. See, this is difficult. I mean, The Stranger is practically a greatest hits album.
In and of itself, yep.
Yeah, come on. I mean, She's Always a Woman and Moving Out in an Italian Restaurant in Vienna. Only the Good Die Young. I'm going to go, just because it's so big and multifaceted and crazy and classic, I'm going to say Scenes from an Italian Restaurant.
Oh, wow. Now, that song is an experience, I'll tell you.
Yeah.
But the other song that I would have picked from The Stranger would have been Moving Out.
Oh, okay.
I don't recall hearing anything else quite like that, but I suppose the same thing could be said from the Italian Restaurant song.
Yeah.
Moving Out with its motorcycle noises toward the end.
Yes, another sound effect song. Like, yeah, Glass Houses has three songs with sound effects, but yeah, that's right. You get the revving motorcycle in Moving Out. And I believe there is a Billy Joel tribute band. There's a lot of Billy Joel tribute acts out there, but I believe I heard at one point that there's a Billy Joel tribute band, and the name of the band is Heart Attack Ack 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 Ack.
I love that about the song.
I like that because it's ridiculous.
All right, so we're on number two now.
Let's go to number two, yes.
And it will be a song from Billy Joel's 10th studio album, The Bridge. So let me do my coin flip. Tails. Landing on Tails a lot tonight. So for number two, I have Modern Woman.
Oh, that's a good pick. Modern Woman, kind of a lost, forgotten hit of Billy Joel, I think. People have largely forgotten that this song ever existed. You never hear it around anywhere anymore. This was a top 10 song.
Yeah, it's true. I find it sounds very different from his other music.
Yeah, The Bridge was a weird record. I like it a lot. 1986, and I think this was his most 80s record.
Yes.
None of his records are particularly 80s.
Right.
but this one would be more 80s than any of the other ones. But that said, this is not a terribly 80s sounding song. This was for a movie. This was in, it was on the album, but it was also on a movie soundtrack, like Ruthless People, maybe, or Down and Out in Beverly Hills, or one of those comedies. This song was done for the soundtrack. Part of the reason it's forgotten, I think, is that there was no video for it.
Oh.
Also for another hit from The Bridge, This Is the Time, there was no music video, which was really strange for 1986.
Yeah. You know?
Videos were automatic back then. And it's not like he was refusing to do videos, because he did make a music video for A Matter of Trust from The Bridge. And that was on MTV and VH1 or whatever all the time. Modern Woman was, yeah, also a favorite of mine. And I like that the year is in the song. It actually says rock and roll just used to be for kicks. Nowadays it's politics. And after 1986, what else could be new?
Yes.
I like that.
Oh, and good saxophone solos too.
Sure. Need a lot of saxophone. That's Mark Rivera, longtime Billy Joel sax dude. A lot of guest artists on the bridge, which was unusual for Billy Joel. He collaborated with a lot of people on this album. Most obviously, Ray Charles.
Oh, yeah.
Duets with Ray Charles on Baby Grand. There's also, he did a song called Getting Closer on this album, which has keyboards by Steve Winwood. And strangely, there's a song called Code of Silence on the bridge, which has backup vocals and was co-written by Cyndi Lauper.
Oh, yeah, I think I saw that.
Which is very weird. I think there's only two songs on any of his records with a co-writer credit. Code of Silence with Cyndi Lauper. And on the Innocent Man album, there's a song called This Night, which has a co-writing credit with Beethoven. Because he actually lifted the melody out of a Beethoven piece and then gave Beethoven credit on the album. I'm sure Beethoven was thrilled. All right, as far as what your other favorite from the bridge would be, let's see. Man, there was Big Man on Mulberry Street. I'm just going to go Matter of Trust.
Yes. I mean, that's a classic. How could it not be that song?
You know, I happen to know that A Matter of Trust is also the mayor of Chickentown's favorite Billy Joel song.
Oh, that's because we all have awesome taste.
All right, let's go. How about number one?
We made it to number one. And this is the point in the countdown that I really wish I had a three-sided coin, because now it's going to be a song from the ninth studio album, An Innocent Man. My whole top 4.5 list, Kevin, could have come from this album.
That's a fun record.
All right. We got Heads. So we got The Longest Time.
Oh.
The very doo-wop song.
And a cappella, almost.
Practically.
If you listen real carefully, there is a bass guitar playing.
Bass, yep.
Yeah. The Innocent Man album, that whole record is just a valentine to the pop music that he grew up on.
Yeah, the influence is clear on any song that you pick from that album.
And what a monster record that was. And they just kept releasing singles from it. That had like six hit singles from it, I think, at least. Let me think. Yeah, what could your other favorite from this record possibly be? For you, I'm going to go Tell Her About It.
Of course. Kevin, you know me so well.
I guess I do. That one sounds like the Supremes, essentially. That was like a Motown.
Yeah, Motown.
Supremes, You Can't Hurry Love kind of a sound. He's performing on the Ed Sullivan Show in the video. Rodney Dangerfield is in the video. Classic.
Yes. And great advice.
It's an advice song.
It is an advice song. It's good advice.
Yes. And this is when Christie Brinkley entered the picture in the Innocent Man era. So you got Christie in the Uptown Girl video, of course.
Yeah, that video is so good.
And that's kind of the most iconic song, I think, from this record, probably because of Christie, you know, strutting around in the video. Also, Keeping the Faith.
Right.
In the Keeping the Faith video, which is a goofy music video, but Christie is in that one as well. She's the red-haired girl in the Chevrolet. So there you go. And there's a song named after her as well. There's a very, very cool song on that record. One of the album tracks, one of the rare non-hit single album tracks, is called Christie Lee. And that's a fun song as well. All right, good one. But we're not done. We must move to the top of your list. I can't wait to learn what album you're featuring in the number one half position. Cornflake, what do you have for number one half Billy Joel song?
It's coming off the 11th studio album, Stormfront.
Of course, 1989.
There we go. We got Tales. It's And So It Goes.
Huh.
Beautiful song.
I gotta say, I'm glad that that was the pick, and I don't have to guess that one, because I never would have guessed that one.
When that song came out, I was just absolutely enamored with that song. It was like a very quiet song, but at the same time, a very powerful song. And the lyrics just took me over.
Yeah, that's a slow, quiet song that closes out the record. Interesting pick.
And what I'm saying here is that is my favorite Billy Joel song of all time.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
So it's up to you to guess now what could possibly...
That's weird.
Please don't tell me you're surprised to learn something weird about me, Kevin, after all this time.
When you put it that way. Why am I so surprised you'd have a weird pick? All right, now I have to figure out what was your alternate selection from the Stormfront album.
Yes.
Let's think about this. 1989, I know this record quite well. We Didn't Start the Fire, of course, was the monster hit song. Went to number one. Billy had three number one songs over the course of his entire career, and we have mentioned all of them in this show. That was It's Still Rock and Roll to Me from Glass Houses was number one. Tell Her About It from Innocent Man was number one. And then We Didn't Start the Fire. Those are his three number one singles. I Go to Extremes was also a hit from Stormfront. We got Downeaster. Alexa was in there. Shameless is weird in that it was not a hit for Billy, but then it became a big country hit for Garth Brooks, I believe.
Yes.
Some strange stuff on this record. There's a song called Leningrad, which was based on his experience visiting the Soviet Union. What would Cornflake's favorite be? I'm going to go I Go to Extremes.
You nailed it, Kevin.
Wow. I'm so proud of myself for how well I did at this game we invented on the spot.
I can't believe you didn't pick We Didn't Start the Fire, but I mean, you couldn't get away from that song, and it was great when it came out, but it didn't hold in my mind the same way I Go to Extremes.
Yeah, I think we all got kind of burned out on that was totally not meant to be a pun, but you know how I feel about puns.
My day is made,
oh,
Kevin.
No. I'll rephrase that. We all got sick of that song, I think.
Clever as it was.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But, man, you knocked this game out of the park. Way to go.
I can't believe we finally found something I'm good at. And unfortunately, what I'm good at
is guessing favorite Billy Joel songs.
Cornflake's favorite Billy Joel songs. What a useless skill.
I like you just the way you are, Kevin.
We already knew that all my skills were largely unmarketable and unprofitable in that I edit podcasts and I moderate convention panels. If you thought I wasn't making a nickel before, look out, world.
Well done, sir.
All right. Well, look at all the fun we had with Billy Joel and the long-awaited return of the top 4.5 list. And if you're a longtime Flopcast listener, you know that we have another top 4.5 list coming very soon, because it's that time of year, if you know what I mean.
I'm getting ready.
Meanwhile, Cornflake, this has gone on long enough. We got to wrap up the Flopcast for this week. Get us out of here.
Please check out our show notes at flopcast.net, our very own website. Communicate with us at facebook.com/flopcast or on Twitter, where our handle is @flopcast. Check out our pictures on Instagram. We are the_flopcast on the old IG. Leave us a rating and a review on Apple Podcasts, won't you? And the music for the Flopcast is performed and arranged by the Sponge Awareness Foundation.
A lot of former members of the Sponge Awareness Foundation, I believe, are also forming an angry new revenge band like the Lords of 52nd Street.
So. Oh, what is it going to be called? I think you should call it the Grim Wombat Parade.
Yes. It's the Grim Wombats. Good idea. Cornflake, we got a few plugs to get through before we get out of here for real. That is a couple of new shows just joined the ESO Network. So we have two new shows to welcome, and they were already sort of in the family because these are affiliated with Thunder Talk, which was already part of the network, of course. But some of the hosts of Thunder Talk have some spin-off shows happening. There's a show called Ring of Thunder.
That sounds cool.
Well, it's all about wrestling. And we used to have a wrestling show on the ESO Network, and then that show ended. But now we have a wrestling show again. It's Ring of Thunder. And on Ring of Thunder, you get a recap every week of whatever happened in the world of wrestling that week. The other new show is right up our alley in these parts, because we're kind of obsessed with Saturday morning cartoons around here. And there is a new ESO show dedicated to Saturday morning cartoons, Cornflake. It's called The Best Saturdays of Our Lives.
That's accurate. That is a really good name for their show. I bet it's awesome.
It's really good. I've been listening to it. It's been around for a while already, but now it's being officially folded into the ESO network, hosted by Dan from Thunder Talk and also by Mark McRae. And Mark McRae, Cornflake, literally wrote the book on Saturday morning cartoons. He has a book out called The Best Saturdays of Our Lives. And they turned it into a podcast.
Neato.
So two new shows for everybody to check out. Please do that. The other show we want to plug is another new Flopcast episode for our Patreon supporters. ESO Network has a Patreon, and when we can, we like to supply our faithful Patreon supporters with special bonus exclusive Flopcast episodes. And it's another movie show. It's Movies with the Mayor, because the mayor and I watched from 1973 Soylent Green.
Oh my.
Classic, weird, dystopian science fiction kind of a movie, Soylent Green. The mayor and I watched Soylent Green, and we made a goofy little podcast about it. That is Flopcast Patreon bonus episode number 9, available right now if you support the ESO Network through Patreon. And thank you so much if you do. Check that out.
I want to check that out.
And people who are familiar with Soylent Green, if you're wondering, do we talk about Phil Hartman? Oh, yes, we do. Of course we do. It's the Flopcast, you know? We found a way to make it silly. Cornflake, meanwhile, thanks for joining me here on the Flopcast. Thanks, everybody, for joining us here on the Flopcast for some Billy Joel and Lonnie Anderson talk this week. And meanwhile, please, everybody, you know, be safe. Be good. Be kind. Be angry. You should be right now. Let's end with a quote. You know, we ended with a quote a few weeks ago, and I was listening to Billy Joel songs this week, and some lyrics came up which seem timely. So here we go. This is an old Billy Joel song with some really bad advice. Close your eyes when you don't want to see. Stay at home when you don't want to go. Only speak to those who will agree. And close your mind when you don't want to know. There's some bad advice from Billy Joel. There's a lot of people following that advice right now. Don't be like them. Take care of yourselves, kids. Keep in touch. See you next week.
Peace and cookies.
What will you do when your child asks?
What were Saturday morning cartoons?
What were Saturday morning cartoons? What's wrong with you?
Or will you handle it the right way?
Sit down, baby girl. Let me introduce you to my friend, Mark McRae.
Join Dan Klink and I on the Best Saturdays of Our Lives podcast as we take a unique behind-the-scenes look at the history and dynamics of animation with plenty of laughs along the way.
The Best Saturdays of Our Lives podcast is a proud member of the ESO Network.
Oh, Cornflake, hi. Welcome to the secret after show.
Hello, Kevin.
Cornflake, for the after show, let's lightning round the albums that you missed. Favorite song from the Piano Man album? I'll answer for you. Your favorite song from the Piano Man album is The Ballad of Billy the Kid.
You know it.
Because you like old-timey cowboy songs, you know?
Yeehaw.
Yes. From Street Life Serenade, it'd be Root Beer Rag, right?
Root Beer Rag, yep.
Root Beer Rag, goofy instrumental, piano song, of course. Turnstiles. Turnstiles is interesting because there's a lot of classic Billy Joel songs on Turnstiles. None of them were hits.
Right.
But it's like in retrospect, like New York State of Mind, Miami 2017, and Angry Young Man. That album is loaded with like classics that were not hits. Your favorite of those would be?
New York State of Mind.
New York State of Mind. Yes, of course. Thought so. He was definitely going for a Ray Charles sound on that one, I think.
Very much, yes.
And then look what happened. A decade later, he's duetting with actual Ray Charles. Let's see. What else did we miss? Nylon Curtain. Nylon Curtain, you got Allentown. You got Pressure. Goodnight Saigon.
Yeah, I think this album was one that he was particularly proud of.
And this one, two or three songs where you really hear John Lennon on it.
Yes.
And this was the record that he wrote, you know, in the wake of the death of John Lennon. So very Lennon-y, some of these songs.
So you want to, are you going to try to guess what my favorite song off of that album would be?
What's your favorite? It's got to be Allentown, right? With that video?
It totally is Allentown.
The naked steelworkers dancing around.
You know I love that. And I... when I finally, a road trip took me through Allentown, Pennsylvania, it was one of the happiest days of my life.
We discussed that on the show just last year, I think, because I went to Bethlehem last year, which is also referenced in the song.
I was way more delighted to be in Allentown than anybody I met in Allentown.
Yes, yes, I remember that all too well. I had a great time in Bethlehem, where they are not just filling out forms and standing in line. Let's see the other record, River of Dreams.
You going to try to guess what my favorite off of this one is?
River of Dreams, you've got the title track. I'm not even going to guess. It's the end of the after show. What's your favorite from River of Dreams?
All About Soul.
All About Soul, yeah, that's a nice one. My favorite from River of Dreams was Maniac by Michael Cimbello, which some scientists suspect was actually from the Flashdance soundtrack.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping through Amazon.com or the T Public Store, which can all be found at ESONetwork.com. The ESO Network. Your station for all things geek.